I love that song so much. Years and years ago, it may not have had the same impact on me. But once you get to know the Lord and realize how much He has done for you when you couldn't do for yourself, you realize every time you get in the car and He takes you from point A to point B, you got to stop to praise His holy name. When He wakes you up early in the morning with the activities of your limbs, you've got to stop to praise His name. The song goes on to say, I just can't stop. That doesn't mean if I feel bad. It doesn't mean if I feel all right. But regardless of what's going on, I've got to stop to praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. See, worship is a result of the relationship you have with Him. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But He's been good to us. First, giving honor to God. Respect to the angel of this house, Pastor Scott. A father in the ministry, friend and a brother. To all the officers of this church. To the under-shepherd of Christian Valley Missionary Baptist Church in North Chicago, which is under the leadership of Pastor Henry Woods, where I currently serve. To each of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And I have to say, we're really excited today, my family and I, on the ability to be back home today in Second Union. It is so great to look around and see what God is doing in this church. And I hope you realize that, to see members that are still doing well and looking good and actually seeing the church grow and, you know, being here to celebrate marriage on Friday. It is a blessing what God is doing right here in Second Union. And I definitely want to recognize my family, my wife and mother, and my cousins for coming out on today, and my daughter, as she looked at me when I said it's always a blessing to have family that is willing to come out and support you, and I thank you for that. Now, I won't hold you long. I know this is a church under the leadership of a pastor that believes in preaching and teaching the Word of God. So I know you're not starving for preaching. I just come by to encourage you a little bit about living a blessed life. I ask you to join me in Psalms number 32. Psalms number 32, and when you have it, if you signify by saying amen. If it is the tradition of the church, we'll have you stand. And this scripture reads, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. The word of God for the people of God. Let us bow. Eternal God, our Father, Lord, we come this morning thanking you for yet another day. Now, Lord, it's preaching time. Lord God, we want to hear from you on today. Allow this your manservant to preach boldly what you've already preached to him. Boldly that it's convicting to the world, Lord God, that people will leave different in which they walked in today, Lord God, but yet so simplistic that even our children can understand. This is our prayer on today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from the topic, make your confessions known. Make your confessions known. Brothers and sisters, any doctor would tell you if your body is threatened by an infection, that you need to take care of that infection immediately. For if you leave it unattended, you are at risk of your entire body being poisoned. Your entire body being taken over and consumed by that infection, which could ultimately lead to your death. There was a man working in his tool shed, and he stepped on an old, rusty nail. But he was a rugged man, a tough man, and he thought, I don't need to worry about it. My body will heal from this. But he was wrong. For that rusty nail infected his entire body, and it led to his demise. If you are not careful, brothers and sisters, we too can be just like that man when it comes to sin. If we do not address the sin in our lives, it can ultimately poison our spiritual health and our physical health, eventually causing eternal damnation. Sin and the act of sinning is something we all have experienced. The Word of God tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is defined as missing the mark of God. And I come by today to deliver breaking news to some. The all mentioned in verse of Romans 3:23 includes you, and it includes me. Although I may not know you personally, I can stand before you with much confidence and conviction and letting you know that we've all missed the mark of God. For the Word of God tells us we were all born into sin. And that places us all on the same playing ground. No man is better than the other. We have all sinned. No matter how you look at it, I can't point out your sin in judgment, and you can't point out mine in judgment. But I urge you to be more like David on today and encourage one another to address that sin in your life. David is letting us know there's a cure for sin and the effects of sin in our lives. Have you ever heard the saying, it is not how you start the race, but how you finish? That is what I want to talk about today. Yes, all have sinned, but we don't have to live as sinners and in the agony and bondage of sin. We can confess our sins to the Lord and live a justified and reconcile life before God. Our text exposes the consequences of a man living in unconfessed sin. It provides a picture of physical and spiritual effects that can ultimately consume us if we don't confess our sins before God. Sins lead to guilt. Some burdens are so heavy that they seem to consume all of our strength. But there is no burden heavier than the burden of guilt. Now, arguably, the psalmist here, King David, carried one of the heaviest burdens of guilt. Many of you know the story. One spring evening, as he strolled across the palace roof, he looked over yonder's way and saw a beautiful lady bathing, and he wanted to send his men to find out more about Bathsheba. But the report came back to him, that is Uriah's wife. But that didn't stop David. As one preacher said, he was ready to woo-woo-woo her. He still sent for Bathsheba to come his way and ultimately committed adultery with her, and she became pregnant. Brothers and sisters, how many of you know that God knows all about you and your sin? See, David went about trying to cover up his sin, which led him into more sin, and ultimately the murder of Uriah. But we cannot cover anything from God. God sees and knows all. He knows our condition right now as we sit in this sanctuary. We can try to cover things and deceive man, but we can never deceive God. David, this man after God's own heart, committed unspeakable and vile and callous acts, all which caused him guilt. And after the prophet Nathan revealed David's iniquity, David cried out for forgiveness. In Psalms 32, David teaches us on the consequences of sin, but yet testifies about the benefit of confessing those sins and being forgiven by God. Again, he is showing us it's not how you start, but how you finish. King David expresses his happiness of a man who experiences God's forgiveness through the confession of sin. and yet the condition of a man who has failed to confess his sins before God. But David goes on, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles open because we want to hit these scriptures today. David also lets us know there's an urgency in confessing your sins before God. And then he ends with a hallelujah, good time, because he says, happy and blessed is the man that is protected by God, the man that has been forgiven of all of his sins. In the text, David begins his psalm not talking about himself exclusively, but all men and women that experience the life of being forgiven by God. He says, blessed is the man. And brothers and sisters, that includes all of us. See, we have to be careful of doctrine that talked about being blessed only by material things. See, God is worried about your whole self being blessed. When God talks about blessed, he's talking about from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. He's not talking about only by situations, only when you have money in your pocket. His blessing is through everything. You are blessed and happy, protected in me. Psalms is an instruction by David explaining that these first two verses are actually facts. A man is blessed when he experiences the forgiveness of God. The word blessed here means to be happy and joyous. This particular use of the Hebrew word expresses a heightened state of happiness and joy that can only be achieved by the acts of God. We sing all the time, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. This word used by the Hebrew text is letting us know only God can give you this type of blessing. Only God can give you this type of happiness and joy. Brothers and sisters, when I was studying this scripture, I did become perplexed. Because here David is explaining that a man who has sinned can experience joy and happiness. But I thought God expected for men to walk upright, not to sin, not to fall to temptation. Yes, that is true. He does not want us to fall. But this is where you can see God's love for you and for me. Although it is his expectation, he still gives you a way to be right in relationship with him. Because of his love, he offers forgiveness. Don't let anyone tell you God is a mean and unjust and unloving God. No, he is just. The opposite to that. He constantly pours out grace and mercy to us each and every day. He continues to give us the chance to get it right on this side. Who do you think kept you when you were in the world? And yet, just because you are in church today, don't believe he's not keeping you right now. For Jude lets us know now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Do you know it was only God that kept you when you didn't know how to keep yourself? It's only God that carries you through each and every day. It's only God that's keeping you, my brothers and sisters. There was a young man walking with his father. He would reach up and hold to his hand, but every few steps he would stumble and fall. He would stand up again and his father would brush him off, and he would hold on to his father's hand again, but yet another few steps he would fall. But he turned to his father and said, I've got a different solution to this. Why don't you hold on to my hand? I can't hold on to yours, but if you hold on to mine, Daddy, you can keep me from falling. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, allow yourself to rest in his hands, in his all-powerful hands, he will keep you. Yes, this is the love to those who forgive you. And when you are forgiven, you can still be blessed in spite of your transgression. You can still be happy. Isn't that good news? God wants me to be in right relationship with him. And when I stop warring against him, confess my sins, turn from my wicked ways, he will cleanse me and I will have joy and happiness forevermore. David says, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. David uses these three words to communicate sin. He uses the word sin, transgressions, and iniquity. Your transgressions and sins are used interchangeably. Sin is the missing of the mark of God. Transgression is the expression of rebellion. Yes, when we sin, we are being rebellious against God, which means you know better, but you chose to do differently. David is letting us know all lawlessness, all rebellion, breaking of God's law is represented in these words, and yet all can be forgiven. Whatever burden you are experiencing, you can turn to God and ask for forgiveness. Look at who's writing this psalm to us this morning. We see that a man who committed one of the most horrific sins is telling us they can be forgiven, and he speaks from his own experience that he realized the happiness and joy on this side of earth. For Nathan told him when he cried out, God has forgiven you. Brothers and sisters, David is giving his own testimony. He is letting you know, I'm a blessed man. I sinned, and God held me accountable for it. I lost things, even my son. I had to deal with the consequences of my sin, but yet all and still, I'm a blessed man. David makes it plain, brothers and sisters. He is showing us God does not forgive like we do. We will tell each other in a minute, I forgive you, but I can't forget what you've done. But no, not God. Praise the Lord, God doesn't forgive like we do. Because in verse 2, the word tells us the Lord imputeth not iniquity. The ESV says the Lord counts no iniquity. Brothers and sisters, when God forgives, he also forgets. Because imputeth actually means that he never keeps record of the event. That reminds me of Psalms 103 and 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I tell you, somebody ought to be shouting now to know that God has already cast them away if you only ask for his forgiveness. That is enough to praise God. He does not keep a file on you and me. For the man that is forgiven will never have the sin counted against them. And he is found before God reconciled with the spirit of deceit, guile, and cunningness. It is important to deal with these words here of guile. There being no guile is the illustration of God cleansing your heart. For he will find no cunning and deceitful ways in the heart of a man that has been forgiven. In the heart of a man that he's cleansed. In the New Testament, Jesus lists these as one of the sins that come from the heart. What does that mean? God sees a clean heart when he looks on a man that's been forgiven. For David cried out in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. For God's forgiveness is what cleanses us from sin. God takes our sins and casts them away and never holds them against us again. We see in God why the man is blessed that experiences God's forgiveness. The man is blessed because God's grace is sufficient. You and I are known for giving favor to those who deserve it. You know, the respectable, the ones that have done right by us, the law-abiding, the honest person. But thanks be to God. That's not how he looks at it. For he pours out his favor to those who actually deserve the opposite. See, he doesn't look at what you've done. It's not conditional with him. He says, if you come to me, I'll give you grace and mercy. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed or how horrible you feel that sin is. Do you not know that you only have to look to God? For he said, but by grace of God, but by his grace, I'm cleansed. The happiness that David is talking about is the happiness and joy that only God can give you. It's only derived from having a clean heart. Joy that comes from knowing that your iniquities are forever forgotten by God. Happiness that God will never bring them up again. Brothers and sisters, that's something to shout about. I said I came by to encourage you this morning. That's something to shout about, that regardless to what I've done in the past, if I turn it over to the Lord, he's able to forgive me. All power is in his hands. He'll wash me whiter than snow. In verse 3, David transitions at this point. He moves from third person to first person. As he gives a personal testimony of the agony he has experienced before confessing his sins and being forgiven. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David is illustrating how his silence was the cause of physical and spiritual torment. The cause of his problems is his silence. In other words, his unwillingness to confess his sins to God. The fact that he has decided to remain silent is why he's experiencing such turmoil. He said, "My bones wasted away." This is the physical effects of what guilt can have on the body. Brothers and sisters, guilt can lead you to physical illness. But David felt like an old man. Some would even say this was a confession of depression. His groaning was not confession for God to forgive him, but yet the agony of the guilt that he experienced. He was in continuous agony and anger because of his sins. I would even go so far to say he was angry at himself. David is not only experiencing his own anger, but he's experiencing the wrath of God. For he said, "Your hand was upon me day and night." We know what it's like when we have not confessed our sins before God. We are in constant worry. We're always trying to figure out who might find us out. You know, you go about lying, trying to cover up the truth. That only leads you into more sin. You get so guilty that you retreat from people because you feel so bad. Guilt affects everything, and unconfessed sins stop us from experiencing the forgiveness of God. And it also does not allow us to forgive ourselves. All of this while knowing we have sinned against the Lord. In this, our strength dries up. For David says he became weak. He no longer had strength. One may feel as if they can't go on. But brothers and sisters, I thank God David didn't just stop at verse 4. Because in verse 5 is the answer to how one can receive the blessing spoken of in verses 1 and 2. Here's where David moved from the burden to the blessing through the forgiveness of sins. David says, "I acknowledged my sin to you." The verb here is translated, "I made known." David is saying that he made known his sin to God. The interesting thing is, God is all-knowing. God knew exactly what David had done. God knows exactly what you and I have done. So what does it mean, brothers and sisters, to confess? Confession means to agree with God about your sin. See, before David came to the point of confession, he and God were on opposite sides of the fence. God was condemning his sin, but yet David was defending himself, trying to rationalize and make excuses for his sin. When he finally came to the point of confession, David stopped fighting against God and joined God on the right side of the fence. The same for you and I, brothers and sisters. When we confess, we acknowledge that we can't win against God. We decide to join him on his side. Why? Because only God can carry away our sins. There's a twofold answer in verse 5. See, the first part of it is we must confess. Confess your sins to the Lord. But yet number 2 says, he will forgive you. All you've got to do is accept the fact that God has forgiven you. This is all we have to do. And then David ends, "And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." See, unresolved guilt takes a great toll on a man. At the age of 15, Robert Garth hit an elderly man across the head, trying to steal some money for a sports uniform. He didn't intend to kill him, but the blow proved to be fatal. The police had no clues, and Garth knew that he was going to get off free, but yet he was miserable. Finally, after 15 years of mental anguish, he confessed to the police. He was tried and given a relatively light sentence and sent to prison. And there he trusted Christ as his Savior. Some people said his sentence was too lenient, but Rogers replied to him, "I've been incarcerated in this cell for 6 months, but I've been incarcerated in my mind for 15 years. There's no comparison to what the mind is to a guilty man. There's no comparison to what God can do when you allow sin to still fester in your life. Try as much as you please, but I tell you, we can't get our wrongs right unless we lean on God. Mental imprisonment can be worse than physical imprisonment. But thanks be to God that he offers a ministry of forgiveness that will help us heal internally by his forgiveness and allowing us to forgive ourselves. For 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad I am a blessed man, one whose transgressions has been forgiven, whose sin is covered and have no record on file. I'm so glad that Jesus came and picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I'm like David this morning. I have a blessed heart. I'm like David this morning. I have a clean heart all because of Jesus. I have something to shout about. I have a song of deliverance to sing. If there is anybody here that have not experienced God, this is your chance. But I do believe I've got a few people with a testimony. If you've ever tried Jesus, say yes. If you've ever been washed whiter than snow, say yes. But brothers and sisters, we can't take this lightly. For in David's testimony, he also gives a warning and a promise. He says, let the godly pray, and they unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, if you come to Jesus, he's standing with his arms wide open. If you confess your sins before God, he'll take you in, cleanse you. But brothers and sisters, that's not the end of the story. He also tells you that there's a time coming when the door will be shut and those on the outside will remain on the outside forevermore. I tell you, we got to get it right while we're on this side. Well, now I got to turn to the church folk, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This message is not only for the unbeliever, but it's for you and I also. Because don't you know that you and I give life to some of the sins God has already forgiven? We bring them up and bring that guilt on ourselves. Well, if you are wrestling against guilt right now, I tell you to turn it over to the Lord and get out of God's business. For over 2,000 years ago, he set the mission in order. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son to die on the cross for the remission of sin. The blood that Jesus shed was for the remission of sin. If you turn to the Lord, he'll make it all right. If you turn to Jesus, he'll forgive you for your sins. I'm so glad when God looks down at me, he doesn't see my flesh, but he sees the blood that Jesus shed. He sees his son all over me. I tell you, brothers and sisters, get out of God's business. Let him do what he said he will do. For his promises are yes and amen. What he promised he will do, he will do. I tell you, to understand the power of confession, you've got to understand God's love. His love sent his son to the cross. His love allowed his son to die. His love put his son in the grave. But early Sunday morning, his son got up by the power of God. God raised him up from the dead, said, all power is in my hand. Power to make your rough road smooth. Power to forgive you of all your sins. Just turn it over to Jesus. Do you know about the cross? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Do you want happiness? Turn it over to Jesus. Do you want joy, unspeakable joy? Turn it over to Jesus. Do you want peace, the peace of God and peace with God? Turn it over to Jesus. Do you want to walk with him? Turn it over to Jesus. Do you want him to talk with you? Turn it over to Jesus. Do you want him to be with you in the midnight hour? Turn it over to Jesus.
But I tell you, brothers and sisters, David got happy at the end. He said he had a shout on his lips. Because that's why, because God is protecting him. See, on judgment, he won't have to face judgment. He's already been acquitted. God's done it for him because he turned it over to him. He knows one day I'll walk with the Lord. One day I'll see his shining face. One day I'll walk on the streets of gold. One day the pearly gates will open. One day the angels will call my name. My name will be on roll. Turn it over to the Lord. That's the protection of God. No matter what goes on this end, God's got a mansion for you. God has his rewards for you. That's our victory. Victory in Jesus. I tell you, get out the way and live a happy life. Get out the way and live a blessed life. For God said he will forgive you of all your sins. Turn it over. Turn it over to Jesus. Make your confession known. He said he'll do it. All you've got to do is trust him. Trust the Lord. He said he'll do it. Oh, it makes me happy. I tell you, I'm encouraging you today. It makes me happy that I know God loves me, that he holds me in his hands. It makes me happy that you might look down on me, but the God I serve can see Jesus in me. It makes me happy that Jesus lives on the inside of me. I'm so glad I turned all my problems over to the Lord. He washed me whiter than snow. Sometimes you got to tell your own testimony. Some people may not understand. So you might not have tried it, but that's all right. I'm going to shout right here by myself if I have to. He did it for me. I'm like David. I tell it everywhere I go. Make your confession known. God will do it. See, you turn to man too much. You tell him all about your problem. But I said, tell the Lord about it. See, the Lord will take it away from you. The Lord won't bring it up again before you. See, man will call you by your situation. But the God I serve will call you blessed. He'll call you happy. He'll give you joy. He'll call you my child. That's my child. Take your hands off of him. That's my child. Satan can't rule over you no more. You're under God's unchanging hand. Turn it over to him. Brothers and sisters, turn it to the Lord. I'm done preaching now. I'm just happy on the inside. I didn't let too much of my life go by before I turned it over to him. The way gets rough sometimes, but I know I serve a God that said one day you'll be with me in glory. It might be rough over there sometimes, but even then I can sleep at night because I'm with him. Even then I've got his peace because I turned it over to him. God is in control. Make your confessions known. Make your confessions known.